Welcome to the Fit Life with MJ podcast, where you'll learn how to become the most unstoppable, healthy, fit, and confident version of yourself your way. Listen in as I drop weekly real and raw solo episodes and interviews with industry professionals covering all things fitness, mindset, and personal development to inspire and teach you how to get results and level up on your terms. I'm your host, MJ, certified personal trainer, nutrition, mindset, and personal development coach. I cannot wait to share today's episode with you. So let's get into it. Hello, fam. Welcome to the Fit Life with MJ podcast. Oh my gosh, we are recording in person today. I've got a really special guest with me. I'm so super excited for this chat. We've been riffing before we hit record. We've already covered so much. I'm like, I hope we can bring that back out in the actual episode because, oh my gosh, it was gold.
It was.
But I would love to introduce Travis, aka The Technician, mindset, personal development, emotional awareness, mentor, all of the things. Introduce yourself in a bit better detail. Tell our listeners who you are, what you do, who you help.
Amazing. Thank you so much, MJ. And you did so well to get this all set up. So thank you. I appreciate you having me. For myself, I guess the words that actually my mentor helped me come up with recently was I help people unplug, rewire, and unleash. Mm-hmm. So essentially what that is helping people with their unconscious beliefs that hold them back in life. So that might be around finances, relationships, fitness, health, all the things, right? There's reasons we do things and they're much deeper than we think. We think they're conscious. We think that, but I just want to lose weight. I want to do the things. Why do I keep doing this? Because there's a shadow part of you that doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. So I help rewire that stuff. And I also do men's work. So I'm part of one of the fastest growing men's work brands in the world in Heart-Led Warriors. I've got a top 50 podcast in Australia in the Technician podcast. And just an overall good guy, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can tell someone's energy as soon as you meet them. Like, we haven't actually met in person yet till today.
Yeah.
But even just online, I think I heard you on Sarah Wilson's podcast. I can't remember.
Been on a few lately.
Yeah. So there's been a couple that I've heard you on, but the first one I heard you on, I instantly knew you were someone.
Soph. It was Soph.
Sophie. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Sorry, that's Soph. Oh, close. But yeah, I loved your vibe. I loved everything that you spoke about. I thought, this is my kind of person.
Yeah.
Definitely knew I wanted to have you on this podcast straight away. I thought you could be able to bring just a wealth of knowledge to the Fit Life fam, all our listeners. But yeah, just I loved the energy that you gave off. And yeah, I just can tell that you would just be able to bring so much value to the people that you do help.
Thank you. Yeah. It's something that I do a lot of energy work. I guess for people, they look at me and go, who's this like basketballer / football player / whatever. I'll get a lot of projections from people, right? Mm. As we do, as humans, we judge. Yeah. I used to really struggle with that. Now I'm just like, it's normal. Mm. For us, it's a survival factor because when we were Neanderthals in caves, if we didn't judge the person that was a little bit dodgy, they would kill everyone in the cave. So there is an aspect of survival within that. So, and the reason I bring that up is that I think there's so many rules around how you're supposed to look for how you're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super spiritual. You know, like I see dragons and shit. You know, like I'm at that level where I'm so connected with my spirit guides that I had a remembrance on the weekend at an event I run with my good friend Christy, my fiance Christelle, and Christy's daughter Lily, called Beast in the Beauty for women. So it's helping them rediscover like that beast within them and helping them tame that and control that. So a lot of women are very feminine and they don't know how to control their masculine, or they use their masculine for survival because they're a single mum or something. So we help them drop into their feminine as well and allow that for that flow. Basically what happened, and I love that this is going here already.
Me too.
That, during the breath work, like our breath works are pretty deep, like holotropic. You know, during those breaths, you can have some visions come through and some emotions and feelings. And one of the ladies, a good friend of mine, I saw her laying there and she sort of had her hands out as if she was receiving a gift.
Yeah, right.
And something in me, I had like a little download. It was like, you need to go and give her that gift. So I walked over and sort of acted like I was like giving her like a parcel. And as I was doing that, this like gust of wind hit the back of my hand and I felt my hands go cold.
Wow.
And I'm getting goosebumps.
I'm getting
now.
Goosebumps yeah. now.
So and Christy was watching, like she's the most powerful woman I know. I can't explain what she does because it's unexplainable. You can't. She's just so special.
Mm-hmm.
She looked at me and she smiled and she had tears in her eyes and I was like, fuck was that? I walked over to her and she whispered in my ear, she's like, you've just had a remembrance. There's a part of you, a past life version of you that just remembered who you are and what you've got. And I just bawled my eyes out in her shoulder. Wow. Like, while everyone's still breathing, I'm like, what the fuck?
I just got chills.
And I'm still new to this, right? Yeah. So I'm three years into the deep work, but I've been doing this stuff for like 7 years. But if you really look at it, I've been doing it for 33 years.
Yeah.
My entire life.
Yep.
There's been a remembrance happening since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of soul contract playing out. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, and I've had many of these moments now where I've realized old gifts that I had in a past life where what she said during this, and she asked me the question at the end when I did a testimonial for us, and what she say. So she channels, she can hear like spirit talk to her, whatever you want to call it, ether, whatever. Whatever you guys want to use for labels, so it's not weird for you, use it.
Exactly. Because
I get it. It's full on. But yeah. Christy just said, what was it you remembered tonight? And the story that came through for me straight away, and this is how we talk to the unconscious, is the first thing that pops up, that is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't question it. And it literally said, I was a healer and a medicine man or a shaman as part of a Native American tribe. Wow. And I was seeing like the creek, the river, the horses, my tribe, as I was saying this story. And it was like, you had healing hands.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd remembered. A part mm-hmm. of me had remembered what I was in a past life energetically. And I'd now brought those gifts. Fuck, my whole body's like shaking. of that I have healing hands.
Yeah.
So now after I realized that, and before I said this testimonial, I walked over to one of the other ladies and she was having a bit of a moment. You could tell she was quite emotional. There was a block. I was just like, let's fucking try it. And I just waved my hand over her body and my whole hand was just cold and I could feel me wow. almost like drawing that block out of her body. So it's like Reiki, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
I've never done Reiki, but I know of it and I know what it's about. Mm. But it was almost like I was clearing the energetic block in her body, which was an emotion.
Mm.
And you just see her body just like,
oh. Wow.
So there's the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Here's the guy that's like saying he's like this, this, and this. That's the sort of stuff that happens for me.
This
and
is what we're in for this episode. I'm clearly excited.
There's the intention, right?
I'm already like shook. This is because exactly touching on what you said at the start, we get categorized by the way that we look, of how we think we should be.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like anyone who has no idea who you are, they would probably think you were some sort of like tough, you know, scary guy who's, you know, not going to take shit from anyone, you know, like watch out for him. But actually, you're like this really soulful, spiritual guy who knows what's up.
And like, yeah, spot on. And I love the fact that in that moment, I just realized that I am that guy.
Mm.
The soft, the calm, the feminine flow, the healthy masculine.
Mm.
But I have the ability to turn into an absolute monster when I need to. So it's like that. And this is what I want for all men and women. Because we live in a world that's tough.
Mm.
So like that saying I'm sure everyone's heard now is like be a warrior in a garden, not a gardener in a war.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the ability to access that monster when I need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I'm at men's workshops, there's a different Trav. I bring out what we call the dark masculine. And that's a part of me that's like, all right, you fuck it. Like it's that beast that switch comes out. So it's kind of my nickname's always been Brother Bear. And there's a good reason why I resonate with bears.
It's so fitting. I love it.
Obviously the size of me, but also just my nature is that I can be like this, look like this big cuddly dude, give big hugs and all the things. Yeah. But then in a second I can rip your head off, you know? So it's having that ability to swing the pendulum back and forward. Everyone needs that. You know what it's like, MJ, with clients is like some need soft, tender, loving, nurturing from the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Some need to be like, oi, you fucking idiot. What are you doing?
Yes.
Like be really and be not degrading them, but in a way they'll only listen if you're a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, so having the capacity to be both, I think that's what makes me very different to most people.
Yeah, absolutely. And so able to, I guess, nurture a lot of people in all of their different phases and different stages that they're at in
meet
life.
Meet them where we're at. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, the thing that dropped in for me then is that I know that I can help so many people to the degree that I do because of what I've lived. Mm. My lived experience has been pretty full on.
Yeah.
Like I've been through suicide, depression, anxiety, all the things. Mm. Like everything you can imagine, relationship issues, many breakdowns, not wanting to be here for many, many years. And I've worked through all of that. So I come out the other side as a lived experience. Mm. So I can literally resonate with every single thing that most people are saying.
Yeah.
Right. And I know why they're struggling in relationships. I know why they're doing this. I know why they're addicted to like abusing alcohol. Yeah. I used to abuse alcohol to go to parties because I was so shy and embarrassed and insecure that the only way for me to be me was if I was blanketed by copious amounts of alcohol.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I look at me now and I'm like, I can show up anywhere completely sober and just be like, this is me.
Yeah.
And if you don't fucking accept me, that's fine because I accept me.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that alone is just so powerful. And there are so many people that just need to latch onto that and learn how to embody it. Mm. So I think from my own personal experience, I'm nowhere near as far through my own personal development journey as what you are. And we're the same age.
Epic. Yeah.
But that just goes to show.
Yeah, I thought you were like 25, 26. Hey, you're welcome.
I honestly didn't think you were 33 either. I was thinking like mid to late 20s.
Thank you.
Love that for us.
Let's just gas each other up. You're so amazing. Stop it, but don't.
Yeah. Oh, us already. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
but yeah, for me already how far I've come in just realizing why I am the way I am. And I think a lot of people are still at that level of just thinking that they've been boxed into this life that they have to live. Like they're just a stay-at-home mom or they're just stuck in a 9-to-5 and that's just the way it is. It's the way the cards are dealt and they look a certain way. So therefore they have to be a certain way and fit into society a certain way. And I definitely 100% agree with what you said about going back to our caveman days, like our sort of survival brain of
lizard brain.
Yeah, we've got to understand how we fit into society so that we know we belong in the tribe and then we're not going to be outcast, basically. So we categorize ourselves as to how we fit into society even in today when even if we were outcast from our friendship group, aka tribe, we're not going to get eaten by a lion. But
that's what can play out sometimes, right? It's like the parasympathetic system in us plays out.
Yeah.
So it's like they talk about triggers. Mm. I love triggers. I go towards them because what I've heard, and this is what I call them now, especially for my clients, find your triggers because in those things that torment you, they are actually mentoring you on what you're supposed to go down. Mm-hmm. So if there's a trigger around when people criticize you for doing something wrong, go down that path and see where that's come from. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's from a story when you were 12, you did something stupid, classed as by dad, and dad goes, oh, you're a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe your unconscious mind remembered that for the rest of your life.
Yep.
And then you stop doing new things because you don't want to be criticized and called out for being a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
When it's like, I love being a fucking idiot. Like it's the best because something I coined recently was I love failing.
Yeah.
Because for me, fail is fast action ignites learning.
Oh.
Let me say it again. Fast action ignites learning. Fail.
Love.
Imagine if you looked at failing that way, that every time you fail, you're just igniting some new learning.
Yep.
Because I truly believe that without failing, success is not guaranteed at all. Like you cannot succeed in life unless you fail a heap of times to learn what not to do.
Exactly.
How many times do you think I've fucked up in podcasting?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm at episode 88 or something now. I thought, well, actually nearly 100 technically. And the amount of times I've forgotten to do something, forgotten that the video is not going or stuffed up something, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't get caught up on it because if I do, then this big story plays out and then I get in the dumps and that's 100% where I used to be. But I'm sure even with your coaching, you see a lot of people get down on themselves with like, oh, MJ, I fucked up again. I ate some chips.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, don't do it again tomorrow.
Yeah. Like let's break that down and go into like I like to give my girls techniques on how to actually stop themselves from wanting to do those things.
Yeah, right.
So I like really tapping in. I've always had a brain like that that goes right to the root of something like, okay, here's a problem. Here's how we fix it. But how do we make ourselves how do we enable that action? So, because I think from my own personal experience, obviously, I gained weight quite quickly in my late teens from being very active and not having to worry about what I ate. All of a sudden, not active anymore, drinking every weekend, driving. So KFC drive-through for lunch, addicted
KFC,
to chocolate, right? And so one day my mum commented on the size of my thighs. My boyfriend at the time commented on my stomach and I put a pair of shorts on that I've never struggled to get into. And I was just looking in the mirror like, who is this girl? panic situation set in. This is like early Facebook days. So I was following like Ashley Bynes, the whole fat burner walk thing, cut the carbs, just less calories in is obviously better. So starving myself ridiculously, but couldn't stop binging of a weekend. It was just relentless. And I just got to the point where I was like, but how do I stop myself? Because saying no isn't enough. How do I stop myself from wanting the food? And that's when I went down and started building out these techniques I give to my girls now of actually tapping into your brain of, okay, how do you actually feel when you eat this food?
Yeah.
Is it giving you the outcome that you want? No. What outcome do you want? Well, I want to be fit. I want to have this excess weight gone. Okay, well, is the KFC doing that? No. Is it making you feel good after you eat it? No. And you eat the healthy food more often. Pay attention to how you feel when you do that. You want it more. Because our bodies want to be healthy and energized and full of nutrients is what they're built off. And then you look at the less healthy food and you're like, I actually don't want it anymore. So when you're in a situation where you can have it, you're in control.
Yep.
And you're not at the mercy of the cravings. It's easy to just sit there and go, you know what? I can happily say no to that food because I prefer to have something healthy today. Or I can choose to have this because I know it's not going to be a downward spiral into binging because I can't get enough of it because I actually don't want it anymore.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah. I'd love to stay on this topic for a little bit because we know, like we said before, it's going to help so many people. Mm-hmm. And even in that moment, I realized myself, especially KFC and stuff was my crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was like the dopamine I got from it. You know, I think for many years from the depression I suffered and anxiety, my dopamine levels got really cooked. And then we're pleasure seeking animals, right?
Yep.
So in the pleasure, the dopamine, the serotonin, all the things we want. So we discover like things like chocolate. Little hit of dopamine. Yep. Oh, I feel good for a second. Oh, now I feel like shit.
Yeah.
So it's like this, it's not that natural high, which comes from exercise, connection, getting outside in the sun, all the things that we have capacity to do so, but it's much easier to find that little hit in a fucking like drug or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or gaming. Like I'm a gamer. I've got nothing against gaming, but it's the people that get caught up on it for all day and then they forget about life outside.
Yeah.
So I love what you said about understanding why you do it, not how you do it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't know if you watch that evidence-based training guy.
Yes, Cunnings. I love him.
Yeah, yeah. So I love how simple he puts everything because that is how it gets to be.
Mm-hmm.
We overcomplicate everything. Mm. And though there is complicated parts to it, like we were saying before, you know, there's a reason why you keep going back to being fat sometimes.
Yeah.
Not anyone in particular listening right now, but let's say for me example, shout out to my best mate, Toddy Jarrett. He's incredible. He is the master of identity and you'll get him on here one day.
Oh, I'm going to. I'm obsessed with
You've
identity.
You've seen Toddy? Yeah.
Our sense of identity, yeah.
So identity is what is our identity will then cause what we do in life.
Mm-hmm.
So my identity, right? You know, I said before I was Brother Bear.
Yeah.
Guess what I thought I was? I was the bear. So what sort of body did I build? I became a 6'5", 145 kilo body, built like a bear.
Mm.
But that's not ideal for health. Like I've got excess weight around my gut, you know, visceral fat.
Yep.
As much as that's a protectant and that's the guardian in me where if you look into a thing called epigenetics, anyone listening, have you heard of that before, MJ? So I'm a guardian, literally epigenetically, I'm a guardian, which means that in the village, I was the protector. Mm. I was a provider. So for me, I carry extra weight so then I can survive longer winters. So if you look into your epigenetic makeup, that will help you even knowing what you're supposed to eat.
Mm.
For me, I should be eating more like Pacific Islander. So lots of meat, seafood, veggies, fruit, like very, I guess almost like Mediterranean sort of style. And I'd gone down the carnivore path.
Yeah, right.
Right. And I removed all like wheat and all the stuff. Because I thought it was bad for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I just had, everything was out of balance.
Yeah.
For me, I just needed a mixture of everything
and
good levels of it with a bit of fasting and stuff. Mm. But at the core of it all was the belief.
Yep.
So as much as I wanted to be like a bit fitter, a bit lighter, a bit, you know, move a little bit easier, joints didn't fucking hurt when I wake up. I had to change my identity. So I shifted from I'm the big bear to I'm the healthy basketballer that can jump and I'm flexible and I'm all these other things.
Yeah.
Guess what's happened in 3 weeks?
Tell me.
I've dropped 6 kilos.
Oh.
Right? And it's not about the weight, but I feel so much better.
Yeah.
I move better. My joints don't hurt. I'm lifting more than I've ever lifted. Mm-hmm. I'm training 5-6 days a week. I haven't done that in years.
Yeah.
But because my new identity is I'm the guy, I'm the fucking technician who's rewiring himself.
Mm.
And my story over the next 6 months is going to be, by the time I'm 34, I'm going to be in the best shape I've ever been. Actually, I take that back, because my best shape I've ever been was not sustainable. I did the whole like macro counting. Mm-hmm. I lost 22 kilos.
Yeah, right.
So I got down to 107 kilos.
Yep.
And it was wild. I had abs and stuff mm-hmm. the first time. My delts and traps looked wild, but I could not sustain that.
Sustainable. Yep.
And because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I didn't care about how I looked. I realized that it wasn't, because I was trying to make myself feel happier. So let's lose weight.
Yeah.
You know, yep. as you probably get it all the time.
Yep.
But it wasn't the happiness I was searching from the physical. It was the happiness from within. Yep. And I needed that experience to realize, no matter how good you look externally, if there's shit that's deeper, it just won't work in my experience, right?
Yes.
So I look back at that and I go, as amazing as I looked when Jakey, my PTM mate at the time, helped me with that, I still didn't feel right. So now that I've gone down the path of sorting all my internal shit out, the external, the way it's showing up and feeling, MJ, I feel incredible.
Yeah.
Like I just, the breath work I do, the meditation, eating whole foods. I still have some KFC and stuff here and there, but because of the new identity and the way I'm showing up in my training and eating in a general sense of like 95% of my life, I'm allowed to do that shit.
Yep.
Because I love fun.
Yeah.
I'm a very fun guy. If everyone's like, bro, let's go to the Magic Round weekend for NRL and get on the piss, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it because of the calories that are entailed with that, right? Mm-hmm. So for anyone listening, find the lifestyle you want to live. Choose your identity and make that your new story. Rather than just going, I just want to lose weight.
Yes.
Build it around the foundation of actually who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then write that down on paper.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. My brain is just ticking over with so many things I want to touch on.
Spit it out.
Everything you just said. I've got to try and remember them all. The first thing I want to touch on is how you linked all of this to your sense of identity. This is something I say a lot for my girls, because one of the methods I give them to help them reach their goals is to visualize yourself as the person you want to be.
Yes.
So have that image in your head, like a 5-second reel. Play it over. What's a 5-second moment in your life of a perfect day of the person you want to be? It's kind of attaching it to your emotional why as well.
100%.
And then if you can shift that as an identity of how you want to show up, then you start embodying that, because your subconscious brain doesn't know the difference between real and imagined.
Correct.
Beliefs create thoughts. Thoughts create actions. Actions create outcomes. Mm. And so you have to change your beliefs about who you are if you want to become the person you want to be. Otherwise, you'll just stay stuck if you keep remembering who you are now.
I love that.
So,
and it plays on one of my first development programs I did, which was Bob Proctor.
Yes.
And he used a lot of Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill. And it was all about where your focus goes, energy flows.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just said, and one thing I've coined a lot lately is, I think there was a story in there where it's like Bob talks about, well, we've got two plants.
Mm-hmm.
One produces poison, one produces food. Which one are you going to fucking water? They're both going to grow the same if you water them.
Yep.
So which one do you choose to pour the water on? So many people choose the poison plant because it's easier.
Mm.
It grows quicker. Yep. It's easier to maintain.
Mm.
The other one takes a little bit longer, takes a little bit of fertilizer, care, love, sun, enough shade.
More risk that it's going to die.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, spot on. So it's like, do you want to take the easy path or the hard path? And the hard path, it looks scary.
Mm.
You look down it, and we do a process during our retreats called the Dickens process.
Mm.
And it's wild. It's like that. You know the Christmas story of like past, present, and future ghosts come
through and
show you those things? It shows you what happens if you don't do all the things you said you're going to do.
Mm.
And we visualize you down 5 years down the track, 10 years down the track.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I experienced this, I'm getting goosebumps again, was at Morgan Nelson's Dream Out Loud method. I did a three-day weekend. It was incredible. And Morgs did this moment where it was like, now picture yourself looking in the mirror. You're 10 years down the track and you've did fucking nothing you said you were going to do. All your family's around watching you.
Mm.
How does it feel? And you just have this wave of emotion.
Wow.
And you're looking at yourself as your eyes closed. And I just screamed. I was like, you fucking useless cunt. Like, are we allowed to swear on him?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, and I just let it rip, and my whole body like just twisted, and heaps of it. Everyone else started going off. And that moment and that feeling of knowing that if I never did the things I said I was going to do, and how it felt, and I could visually see it, and how I was letting everyone else down, including myself, that was enough for me to change my life as well. So little moments like that, right? They compound. And, you know, coming back to what you touched on and around like what you want to focus on and everything, how you create that identity, How about we expand on that and say, as much as visualization, everything, it's fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Find someone you can model it off. Because yeah. what I've now started to realize lately, especially at the workshops and retreats with the women,
yep.
right? So many women don't know what a good man looks, feels, sounds like.
Yeah.
Right? So absolutely. I've got four or five female clients I'm working with. The beauty of what they're experiencing is that they now have the model of what an integrated masculine and feminine man is.
Mm.
So they can call that in.
Yes.
So if they're single, they mm-hmm. know what it looks, sounds, feels like.
Yeah.
How it's meant to be. And yep. they go, oh, mm-hmm. all I ever knew was when Dad used to hit Mum.
Yeah.
That's what I know love to be. That's what I know a real man to be, because yep. that's what my child experienced. So I even, a recent client, I was like, look, dude, let's hang out for a day. Let's go to the beach, get some lunch, go to the movies. Let's literally spend a day together. So your nervous system can get used to what it's like being around a healthy man. Because your entire life up until now, which she's like 42.
Yeah, right.
She's never known what a fucking healthy man is.
Mm.
So how could she ever allow it into yeah. her vortex?
She wasn't energetically open to it.
Exactly. Mm. So, but if I allow her to be around me, oh, that sounds a bit like pretentious. If when I bring her into that circle and we're able to spend a day and it's just vibey, I'm listening to her. I'm supporting her. I'm holding space for her to share the feminine, which because she's so in her masculine.
Yeah.
Like she's really hard, like drive, driven, business, all the things, which is beautiful. I love that. But if without the capacity to drop into the feminine, especially for women, I've found that they find it really hard to drop into the intuition.
Yeah.
And women's intuition is wild. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's where your creative flow is. It's where your divine feminine is, where you get to feel and actually be in surrender.
Yeah.
You know, all the really beautiful things that a lot of women these days can't experience because they're around men that have no fucking clue how to allow that for them.
Yeah.
They're still little boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're emotionally unregulated. They put all their shit on you.
Mm.
They have little blowouts and like they expect you to save them. Men are here to be the protectors and the providers. Yeah. We are here to support you and vice versa.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're any better. I am not some sort of macho man that's like, you know, I understand how the dynamics play out. Mm. I know some incredibly beautiful masculine women in my life that are super successful.
Mm.
But they need the men to actually be more in their feminine.
Yeah.
To support them,
mm-hmm.
which is perfect.
Yeah.
But it's an integrated feminine. Mm. It's not one where it's like deceitful and lying and tries to manipulate you and shit like that.
Yeah.
So I know we've segued way down a bit to energetics of masculine and feminine, but the polarities in that are so important because I think when women especially start to understand that, they'll take a look at their partners or their brothers and their dads and go, oh.
Yeah.
And that also probably could lead to why some of them are struggling to lose weight because it's like it's their protective barrier.
Yeah.
Because their nervous system is so jacked up from the unsafe men they've always had in their life.
Mm.
Well, if they're bigger as well, they're not as attractive, right?
Yes.
So then if they're not attractive, they won't be creeped on by those men that always harmed them or did things to them and all the other things.
Yeah.
So there's deep trauma responses in the body that play out from that too.
100%. Oh, my gosh. That just...
There was a lot just then.
Deep. I was just absorbing everything. Like, I don't think I broke eye contact once. It was amazing.
It was cool.
And it's so true. Everything you just said, like I can just imagine everyone listening just feeling like all of this stuff is just downloading for them and they're just having these aha moments for their own reality because, it's self-awareness around why you are, like what in your past has shaped who you are today is probably the first key to being able to choose your own identity.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're aware of why you've got these things in your life that you're unhappy with and why you're stuck, but with these beliefs about yourself. Like for me, for example, I sit in my masculine a lot. I have a very strong presence. And
I love it. It's awesome. But it's, you can tell it's an integrated masculine too.
And for me, whenever I hear someone say that they want to step into or that they're stepping into their feminine or say, oh, it's so important to step into your feminine, you know, embrace your feminine side. I'm like, I don't want to go get pampered and be all girly and dress up in flowers. Like that is what I've always articulated feminine to be. Yet for me, I'll go on a what I call a head clearing walk. I'll go for a walk to the beach. Perfect. I get myself in front of the water. I'm not doing anything girly. If anything, I'm doing business planning up in my head, but I'm so happy in that.
Yep.
I'm open and my higher self just downloads all this stuff into me and I'm like, clarity central.
Beautiful.
And that's for me, that's my feminine, not going to the day spa, getting a pedicure. Like I love doing those things, but that's not how I step into my feminine.
Perfect.
You know, like,
yeah.
Or I hear some girls saying they like to dance around the house and touch themselves. I'm like, ick. And that doesn't mean I can't step into my feminine just because I don't want to touch myself around the kitchen.
Exactly.
But not in a dirty way.
But, hey, if you want to do it in a dirty way too, cool.
Sure. No, you do you. No, that's the thing. There's so many ways to do it. I think it's about finding what it feels comfortable for you to get the outcome that's desired, basically.
100%. Yeah. I love that. And thank you for sharing that because it touches on the fact that when I first started this journey, and I think anyone that gets into self-development becomes really like, why don't you do the work? You need to do the work.
Yeah.
Why doesn't my partner want to do the work? It's like, they don't fucking have to.
Yeah.
You know, when I first started, I was so judgmental of everyone around me. Like, yeah, I'm doing the work. Why aren't you doing it? And what even the fuck is the work, bruh? Stop talking about it. You know, and I understand now why people were so off me for a while because I was projecting myself all over everyone. Mm. You know, I was like, hey, I'm better than you because I'm doing the work, bruh.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no, you're not better than anyone. And you start to understand that if people want to live a really normal life, that's okay.
Mm.
I used to also go the whole like, fuck their 9-to-5, you know, the systems, this, and this. Like, man, without a system, we don't live.
Yeah.
Without this beautiful library we're in right now, we don't have a podcast. Right. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
How lovely was that chick before helping us?
Like, I know.
She's doing her job.
Yeah.
And she probably really enjoys it. She's really happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's little things like that you start to understand what works for you is fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not happy though.
Yeah.
That's where I go, maybe there's some time for change.
Yeah.
There was something I recently heard, and I used it on a live last night. There's probably a lot of women listening right now who are like, yeah, but I need my partner to do the work.
Yeah.
And he probably does. He probably does because a lot of men need to sort their shit out. I agree. But first of all, how about you meet him where he's at, have love for him, and just know that he's doing the best he can.
Yeah.
He is doing the best with what he knows.
Mm-hmm.
His dad probably was very much the same, suppressed all his emotions, didn't like talking about his shit.
Yeah.
It's all he knows.
Mm-hmm.
And to him, as he was growing up playing sport and everything, if you ever got hurt and you cried, you got called a girl or a faggot or something like that, all the words that came out. So then what did that teach you about women especially?
Yeah.
Being called a girl if you got hurt, that meant, women are weak, whatever. Yeah.
So let's those disassociate things, from that.
Exactly, right? So all these beliefs start getting kicked into them just by societal beliefs. So if you can at least start to pave your own path and actually just meet yourself first and then meet your partner at the level of love, and then this is what we do, right? This painted a picture really well for everyone last night.
Love.
So we hear the same old story of like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You can walk it around the dam a few times till it gets thirsty.
Yeah.
Right? So don't give up on someone around you just because they don't want to do it the first time around.
Yeah.
Just because you've started doing the work and started to find shit out about yourself doesn't mean everyone else around you has to. Mm. Just keep doing you.
Yeah.
Keep meeting you at the levels that you want to, because eventually they're going to go, hey, what have you been up to lately? What's these events you go to?
Yeah.
I might be keen to come.
Mm.
And if they back out at the last second, cool. Don't judge them for that.
They got a step closer.
Exactly. They almost did it.
Yep.
And that's cool. And I think that's when we've got a lot of coaches in this industry that do the whole like, why are you not taking the leap and this.
Yeah.
And so, well, fuck, man, their nervous system probably isn't ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, I think so many people realize that, well, don't realize that our nervous system controls so much of us.
Mm.
You know, our body can be playing out these trauma loops from a very young age. And it's just waiting for the right moment to close it out. But it needs the right person, the right environment, and everything to play out. So one of my favorite sayings recently was with my good friend Lindsay. I don't know if you heard that podcast yet, but Seeds and Sprout Nutrition.
Oh,
it was my
I
most recent one. But anyway.
I think I've seen it. I haven't listened to it yet, but I have seen it. Yeah,
Lindsay
in my feed
is incredible.
To listen to.
Get her on here too, because she'll help so much with like metabolic rates. Like she's a, what is she? As a holistic nutritionist, but also a clinical nutritionist.
Love.
She is so fucking smart, right? But so beautiful too.
Yeah.
So she's got connections to Native Americans and all the things.
Oh, amazing. Yes.
But what she said the other day, MJ, hit me like a ton of bricks. And I think it's been said before, but the way she presented it was awesome. And she said, genetics point the gun, environment pulls the trigger.
Oh, where did I hear that the other day?
Might have been on my reel.
It must have been. Yes, it was.
Lindsay on the
couch. It was on your reel. Like, yeah. Sitting on the couches. Yep.
Oh, man. And that hit me because anyone listening right now, if that didn't land, so you are genetically predisposed by your parents, et cetera. Yes, we do take on our genetic code. So there is probably like cancer, all these other things in your body ready to just be grown.
Yeah.
It's your environment that's making it happen.
Yep.
It's kind of like the zombie outbreak. We all have the genetic in us that we can become a zombie, but it only happens once we die.
Yeah.
So think about if your environment's no good, it's unhealthy, it's stressful, your nervous system jacked up, you're depressed, you're anxious. Of course.
Yeah.
The inflammation of all that could spark the genetic code that's going to go, boom.
Yep.
Here's the disease.
Yeah.
The dis-ease in your body usually comes from suppressed emotions.
Yep.
Right? Like, I've never been healthier in my life purely because I express myself. I don't suppress anything anymore. If I'm fucking struggling, my fiance will support some modes, but then I've got a huge brotherhood. Yeah. Because your partner should not have to take all the load.
Yeah.
Your partner should be there, cool, to support. But men especially, and women, should have a friendship group where they have at least two or three people where they can just unload their shit.
Yeah.
But also be called forward. So if they're complete, if you're constantly whinging about the same shit over and over again, I will, as a mate, this is for example, I'm going to call you on it. I'm going to love you. I'm going to hear you, but I'm going to go, all right, can you stop fucking talking about this? Because this is the fourth time you've said this. Why are you doing it?
Go and fix it.
Or why aren't you doing something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So it's, this is where you find real friends. It's the ones that will love you. They'll support you, but they'll also go cut the shit.
Yep.
All you're doing is whinging now, and you're choosing that.
Yeah.
Right? There's. I've got mates right now. I don't know what's going on in the world, but I've got three mates that are close to suicide, which I'm supporting. That that's on top of the 10 plus clients that I'm supporting every single day, one on one. Right? People think about coaching and whatever is like, oh, you got it so easy. It seems like all you do is like get coffee and go to meetings.
Yeah.
Like, bro, every single client is a full-time job
for
me. The way I do it,
yep.
I don't create, I don't want people to become like dependent of me, but I also like to provide insane value.
Yeah.
Not because I don't feel that I do anyway, but because I want you to walk away from this couple of months of working together going, holy shit, life is actually really easy.
Yep.
And you might have relapses. I'm sure you have clients where they like, they lose a heap of weight while they're working with you.
Yeah.
And then 6 months down the track, they're like, hey, MJ, how you been? I've actually put on some weight. It's like, cool, that's fine.
Yep.
Life happened.
Let's go again.
Let's go again. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I guess I've just gone on a massive rant about so many different things.
I love it. I've just been trailing along just listening to everything.
It's been cool. You're very present. And I love that because there's a lot of hosts that will just try to interject too much.
Oh, yeah.
And then the flow just goes...
Yes.
But if you feel the need to interject, please do, because that back and forward is really cool too.
Yeah, no, I love like letting you say everything and just like.
It's awesome. Thank
installing you. Everything that you want to say into the conversation. Because if I cut it off, I could be cutting off a piece of gold that you're about to come out with. Because I can tell as you speak, you're downloading and coming out with it as you're saying it.
It's wild because you saying that, I'm realizing that's what's happening.
Because I'll do the same.
Channeling, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's I can feel that. And I feel really supported in your energetic circle right now. So I love that, and I can understand why you do so well with what you do, because I'm assuming everyone just feels very held and supported and loved, and because when we've got that, we feel safe. You know, like we, and I guess another segue into a completely different topic is we have this pandemic, whatever it might be, so many people addicted.
Yes.
Right. So a lot of people are addicted to gambling. I work with a lot of men addicted to gambling. Now, and we just call them like scumbags, pieces of shit, all the things, right?
Yeah.
You're a loser because you're a gambler. How about rather than just labeling someone like that, we provide them the support that they need. So one of the best people, for anyone that really wants to learn a lot about themselves and addictions and pain and trauma, Dr. Gabor Mate. He is incredible. And the one line that always hits me is, let's ask the question, not why the addiction, why the pain? What is the pain that's causing them to look for this in their life?
Yep.
To fill that hole, to fill that gap. So one of my clients recently had a breakthrough because he grew up with an absent dad. So his mom was she stepped up. She had to step into the masculine.
Yep.
But when he turned about 15 or 16, everything was sweet. No, sorry, 17, 18. Everything was sweet until then.
Yep.
And then he started getting into drugs. He started doing some bad shit, rebelling. And they just couldn't figure out why. And he could never either. I think he's 24, 25. And what he realized by reading this book called Iron John, one of the best books I've ever got for men.
Noted.
All about rites of passage.
Yeah, right.
And what he'd realized reading the first couple of pages, first chapter, he was like, holy shit, dude, I realize now why I hated mum so much at some point. Because what happens at that age, because you've been taken away from the masculine, the man in your life, your body's craving the masculine. And what drugs and alcohol and risk is masculine. The risk and reward that comes with it is masculine.
Yep.
And we start to resent the feminine. So we push away mum.
Yep.
We go, fuck you, mum. I'm sick of you. I don't want anything to do with you. Because a part of us is craving that positive male role model.
Yeah.
That positive masculine presence. So then they end up going down the path of all the things that people don't want us to do. And then what happens then is, as I said, the judgment comes in. And a guy I listened to the other day on some TED Talk, I'm always learning. I'm dropping little different things.
Yeah.
This guy was profound. It was like a 15-minute chat talking about addictions. And he believes, and what this tribe in South America believes, is the only disease, the true disease in this world, is disconnection. Because what happened during this research with some rats, there was a singular rat, and he was given, I can't remember what drug it was, just in water. Eventually, that rat died. It became addicted to the drug and eventually died. They gave a group of rats, a little family of rats, same shit. They were fine.
Yeah.
They were actually thriving.
Wow.
They were having a sick time because they're connected.
Connected, yeah.
They weren't by themselves.
Yeah.
So what are we doing when we send kids to juvie, when we send men to prison for all this shit that they could probably be reformed from? And I get, look, obviously it's there for a reason because there's some bad people in the world. But also, are they bad people when they're born?
Yeah. Yeah. Environment. Pull the trigger.
The story of the villain and the superhero can be very similar parts. It's just that one moment, one goes, I'm gonna protect the world because I don't want them to experience what I did. The other one goes, I'm going to punish the world because of what they did to me.
Yep.
Right? So they can go two very different ways depending on how they're supported and if they're connected. So the amount of men I see, no mates. No brotherhood, no support. They're just the dad that goes to work, works his asshole off for 12, 14 hours, comes home, misses is angry because he's not present with the kids. He can't help out, do all the things. And all he's doing is like surviving. He has nothing left to give.
Yeah.
It's not a good enough excuse, obviously, because if his environment was right, he could still go to work, be happy, come home and spend time with the kids.
Yep.
That's where my work comes in and what we do with Heartland, et cetera.
Yep.
But I get that majority of men, and there's probably a lot of women listening where they're like, oh my God, hubby's the same.
Yeah.
He owns a successful business company, building company. All he does is work, doesn't help out around the house. And it's like, have a think about what he's shouldering every single day.
Yeah.
And that's not taking it away. I'm not giving them excuses for sure. There is work to be done there. But think about how they're probably not expressing anything they're dealing with.
Yeah.
The stress of Jono at work who keeps giving him shit. The stress of Steven, the accountant, that's like, hey, mate, you've got this $400,000 BAS bill to pay.
Yeah.
And he's not expressing how he's feeling about that.
Yeah.
You know, so all those little things compound and create this disease in the body.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then obviously he's not expressing it, so he's not seeking channels to help him work through those things and seek that inner happiness that would then help remove those problems.
Exactly. The
problems are perceptions. Like,
I like that.
100%, like what you were just saying before, you could have the villain and the hero and the same origin story, but one of them chooses to use it as an empowerment story and the other one chooses to use it as a victim story.
Yep.
And so the way that you perceive the situations that you're confronted with, you can either see it as an opportunity to grow through or an opportunity or a reason to shrink back down and just let the world wash over you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. The story that popped in for me just then is one of my first 10 guests, I think he was, Dan Cross. Shout out to DC. Super successful businessman, owns a massive company down in Brizzy, does really well, beautiful family, dad. But his life was fucking rough. Yeah, if you listen to that story, he went down the path of, I'm going to take this story. I think he had an alcoholic abusive father.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about this. It's not like I'm sharing things. But and then the other side is that his brother went down the complete opposite path of.
Yeah, right.
He went down a really dark path. Whereas Dan's now thriving and succeeding in life, right? So as you said,
same family
we
origins.
We get to choose. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it nature versus nurture?
Mm.
How do we determine these factors? And it's like environment, the mentors around us, our peers, our peer group. Look at the people around you.
Mm.
You hear that cheesy old saying of like,
you become the top five people
you're around.
Yep.
It's so true, negatively and positively. Like ever since I brought on my first serious mentor. I've had many, many, many mentors and they've been friends. But now I've got my first like paid mentor that I've had for 4 months now, Kiani Mills. Shout out to K-Dog. just being around her, I've become her.
Yeah.
She's a multimillionaire.
Love.
I'm not a multimillionaire physically yet, but my energetics and my beliefs are of that of a multimillionaire.
Yep.
So all of a sudden,
you're taking different actions.
The broke kid that always believed money was evil and I could never make it. I'm making more money than I ever have in my entire life.
Yep.
In a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I look at that and go, what the fuck?
And all you did is shift perception.
I shifted that unconscious belief. Yeah. And there is an energetic capacity to it because I don't know if you've read, actually, here's another book. The Secrets to the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker.
Heard of that. Yeah.
Holy shit. Mm. It's old school, but he talks about the power of the money is energy.
Mm-hmm.
Money is energy.
Which is why it's also called currency.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So people think about, you know, we talked about spirituality in the beginning. And this is what I share with my clients a lot is the big focus we work on, raising your vibration.
Yeah.
That's all I really focus on is what can we remove from your life that's a negative and that's bringing your vibration down, which is normally if you're operating from shame, fear, anger, guilt. All the emotions I remove with processes like NLP and meditation and visualization support. So eventually you're getting rid of all this shit that was placed on you by society, parents, all the things. Again, no excuses or blaming people. It's yourself. We get rid of that. And eventually your vibration starts to climb up. And as you said, money's currency.
Yep.
What sort of vibrational match does it become?
Yeah.
If you're vibrating at a higher hertz and frequency,
you're going to attract more.
What do you think is going to happen over here?
Yeah.
More money, better people, more opportunities, good life. MJ, I can't remember the last time something shit happened to me.
Yeah.
Or if it did, it was like, fuck, who cares? I'll move through this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
And the more you can train your brain to have that outlook on every situation, it just becomes second nature. It becomes autopilot. And then before you know it, you're seeing the positive of everything. And I say this to my girls all the time when I'm talking mindset. We are predisposed to seek the negatives because our reptilian brains, obviously, you know, if you were sitting down on a rock in the wilderness, you've got to be aware of what was that lion roar. Like, got to know that that's a negative. We've got to make sure that we don't go near that. Got to be aware of what could kill us. Nothing is really readily going to kill us in today's society, but we're still always predisposed to focus on the negative first. So if there's just one change you can make in your everyday life is to every time you clock yourself having a negative thought about something, switch it to what could be the positive outcome.
100%. Yeah, I love that. It's like that positive reframe.
Yeah, and then you just make that the way that your brain, like what Joe Dispenza always says, neuroplasticity. So taking your brain from the habit of letting yourself fall into what could go wrong into thinking, what am I grateful for that could go right in this situation? I did this with one of my one-to-one coaching girls this week, actually. She's never been on a plane before. She lives in New Zealand and she's flying from Christchurch to Auckland or vice versa. And she's panicking about this flight. She's like, what if I'm that one flight that crashes? I was like, oh, girl, think about this. Like, you're more likely to drive to the shop and get T-boned in your car, but you won't think twice about that. How many flights have actually crashed on that route? Probably zero. I'm going to put money on zero. Think about, but what if this flight is amazing? I get to go and celebrate my partner's work at an event I live in a society and a country that's abundant enough that I can get on a plane, fly somewhere that would take me 6 days by horse and cart if we didn't, or I'd have to walk or just not go and have the experience. And you've got people bringing you food. You've got a pressurized air cabin. It's going to be comfortable. It's going to be a great experience. All of these positives versus 0.00001% chance it might fall out of the sky, which planes don't do because they glide anyway. Literally, but yeah. It's got to actually spontaneously combust in the air to crash or lose a wing. But that's like, honestly, how often does that happen? Think like actually train yourself to seek the possible positives.
100%. And thank you for sharing that, because I think it's touched on one topic that I believe is so important to everyone.
Mm.
Why the fuck's everyone so scared of death?
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Mm.
Oh, well, but I just, who cares?
Yeah.
We are literally here to live a life
mm.
that may not have ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gary Vee says, it's like 1 in 4 trillion chances of something that you're
400
born.
Trillion.
400 trillion, right?
400 trillion chance of being human.
Think about that.
Mm.
You are alive right now listening to a podcast.
It melts my brain.
What even is a podcast?
Yeah.
What the fuck are even we?
We're talking. It's being conveyed through these cables into a thing that's recording it online, which then goes out into the waves and people listen to it on Spotify, Apple, or and it gets sent to their phone through the air.
Yeah, it makes no sense. We used to get around with sticks and stones.
Yeah. Look how far we've gone.
Look at where what you live in.
Yet we can't get out of our own mental hell.
But Sharon's so mean to me at work.
Yeah.
Okay, well, either tell Sharon to fuck off or change, yeah.
Like, I'll never be able to become a millionaire because I'm stuck in this job when there's millions of jobs out there. Like, everyone just thinks they're so stuck in this cocoon.
Yeah, yeah, and there's so much fear.
We are so much more empowered than what we let ourselves believe. But we're also, I don't know if we should go down this rabbit hole, but we are conditioned to believe that.
Yes.
By the powers that be that want to keep us small, because if we all became the highest versions of ourselves, they would not be able to control us.
We also wouldn't have a world to live in.
No.
That's the thing.
It'd you know, be like, destroyed.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we wouldn't have like your dump truck drivers. We wouldn't have our policemen. Mm. We wouldn't have nurses.
Mm-hmm.
All these epic humans that keep our foundational society running.
Yeah.
The issue is, though, these beautiful people that take on these fucking tough jobs, they get ruined.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been working with a officer lately who came to our retreat.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a fucking horrible situation. Things he's experienced in his life.
Yep.
Horrific.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think that's been for his mental health?
Yeah.
You know, the amount of mates that he's seen, or even my pop, he retired at 42 because of some PTSD that we don't even say disorder, actually. We just go PTS. Because every time we label someone with a disorder, they just own it. And they go, broken. Mm-hmm. I'm broken. No one's fucking broken.
And it creates beliefs.
Yeah. And they take this. Like, I know if I go based off all the little things that people say, I'm like slightly autistic and have ADHD.
Yep.
Which I probably do.
Mm.
But I look at it as a superpower.
Yeah.
I can hyper-focus. I don't focus on shit I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's all these things that people go, oh, I'm ADHD, so I'm different.
Yeah.
And then I can't do things. It's like, no, you just got told you can't do things.
Mm.
And then you take all the drugs and then shut yourself down.
Yes, because you know? They want to keep you medicated anyway.
Exactly.
It makes them money. I've got a concept about, well, like, I'm seeing a lot of people who I converse with a lot, and then they'll come out and say, I've got ADHD, or I think I've got ADHD. I actually think they might just be more in tune with their higher self than they realize, and they're living a life not aligned with where they're meant to be. And so they can't focus on what they're doing because they're not supposed to be doing that.
Spot on.
And it's just messing with their mental energy. It's like, no wonder you forgot where your keys are. You weren't supposed to be doing that thing that day where you put them down. Your brain wanted to be out doing other things.
I love that you brought that into the room.
Yeah.
Because it's something everyone needs to hear right now. So thank you. Because the most, as I said before, one of the most powerful people in my life, Christy Drake, she got labeled with all that shit when she was younger. She was so connected. She would see like portals and shit, ghosts, everything, right? And then the world, society, broke her down. Mm. And she talks about this in our podcast where she was, her neighbor did some horrible things to her, right? So that brought her into her body.
Mm.
So she was in her body, out of her body.
Yeah, right.
So she was so in her body that then that pain, that horrific trauma got her into her head.
Mm.
Now, this is where I believe, I love what you said. I 100% believe that's part of it too. What I think most people do is they dissociate from their body, their feelings, their emotions. They go into their head because all the trauma they've experienced is too much to deal with.
Mm.
So it's safe up in the head. So let's over intellectualize everything and overthink shit.
Yep.
Rather than actually feel the emotion that's coming up.
Yep.
Rather than feel the thing that happened when we were 15.
Because
if you actually just fucking sat there, right? And this is what I teach, especially with somatic release. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned recently is the self-inquiry by Scott Colobi, I think his name is. And it's sitting with the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the trigger. Anger comes up. We suppress it.
Yep.
That thing plays out again.
Yep.
And this fucking loop goes.
Yep.
We get in our head. We start overthinking it. Rah, rah, rah.
Mm-hmm.
What if for a second, and now this, I'm going to really make sure this can be clipped. One of the biggest things for most people struggling with ADHD, they dissociate, right? They get out of their body and into their head because it's too painful to be in here. What if internally, guys, you sat with the movie that wants to play out? So if you sit down in your internal cinema, that movie plays out. Rather than fucking off out of the door every time, so the movie just keeps replaying every time you come back, sit and let it play out.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the whole movie. End, screen, done, credits, throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
That story is gone now. That movie that kept trying to play over and over and over again that you were too scared to sit in the darkness by yourself and feel it, cry, scream, fucking feel it in your body fully. Yeah. That movie's over now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't control you anymore.
Yes.
Right? So visualize that. Sit down in your internal cinema when that emotion comes up again, that thought. Feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't externalize it.
Mm.
Don't try to go do something to be busy. Literally just sit there. Be bored.
Mm.
Boredom is where the inspiration is.
Yes. Oh, my God. 100%. Yeah.
We're stimulated all the time now.
Letting yourself be bored. Like, I have days, I say this, I'm like, remember your train of thought because I just want to put this in. I've had days where I've got a to-do list a mile long, but I'm not in a doing energy.
Yep.
I could just sit at a white wall and stare at it and not get bored because the thoughts rushing through me are just like on fire.
Mm.
And so the thought of like pulling the camera out and making a video or thinking of doing something like where I've got to create something in Canva or something like that, I can't. I cannot put thought to action. And I used to get so anxious about that because I'd be like, I've got all the things, these things to do. I'm failing because I can't action them. Whereas all I wanted to do was just sit and let thoughts come through. And now I do that. And if I'm having an off day energetically, I just don't want to be in the doing. I'll just go for a walk and just let the thinking happen.
Perfect.
And because you never know, you could be blocking a golden idea.
Yes.
If you don't let yourself sit in that. Like, you've got to move with flow.
I love that. And it brought up a story of, I think I've said it a few times, but I don't know how true it is. Michael Jackson used to get downloads of like songs, ideas when he was like asleep, right?
Yep.
And if he woke up to it, had that dream, he's like, oh my God, he'll go record it
because
he didn't want Prince to get the same idea.
So
there's this, because there's this collective consciousness aspect. So I've had it happen multiple times where I've come up with ideas. The most recent one that hurt me was like, I love mouth tape for sleeping.
Oh yeah, yes.
Helps a lot with my snoring and shit.
Yep.
And nose breathing so much more elite for, for your brain health, everything.
Yeah.
And mouth tape, thanks to my mate Jordan Potts getting me onto it years ago and learning more about it, for me, I was like, oh, I'm going to create some custom mouth tape that says like the technician or something on it. So when people take selfies at night, it's like Trav's helping me sleep.
Cool.
There's now a brand. Potsy actually had it on the other day. Oh, it's like a, it exists now. Yeah. So I was like, and it's not him, but it's someone that just put some cool words on there. It's just his black mouth tape that sticks and everything. I mean, I can still do it. And I probably will.
Yeah.
Cause I want to create a technician toolbox. Mm. So it's like this whole holistic toolbox of, you know, journal, like mouth tape, blue light blocking glasses, everything where you can just get this one toolbox.
Yep.
And then that's you, to help your foundations of health.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and I don't care that I've put that out there. Someone can do it, but they won't do it like me. So
exactly. Yeah.
You know, think about the things that you've been thinking about and haven't executed and someone else has done it.
Mm-hmm.
So how many more times are you going to see, wait and sit and scroll on Instagram and see that idea, that product or something, that dream that you had that you didn't action because you're too scared?
Yeah.
Or worried about failing?
Mm-hmm.
Have a think about that. But also on top of that, maybe look into why you're afraid of success or failure.
Yes.
The more common one is fear of success because what if it actually happened?
Yeah.
What would I do?
Who would you have to be in that moment?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you have to prove wrong?
Yeah.
That always told you you couldn't do it.
Mm.
And I don't think that energy is what I used to sit with, was like the whole, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to show them. It's like, it's good energy for a bit, but that anger, it can't be, it doesn't work a lot of the time.
Mm.
I think when you come from a place of, I'm just doing what I love. And if I enjoy it, that's all that matters.
Yeah. 100%.
You know,
I think knowing yourself and what makes you tick is key there as well. Because for me, I'll hear a lot of successful entrepreneurs just be like, they all told me I couldn't. I was divorced. Oh. I was down and out. I showed them. That was my thing. I was like, I will prove them wrong. And I'm just like, I've got no one to prove wrong. No one's really actually ever said to me, you could never do that. You'll never amount to anything.
Hmm.
In my own head, I'm like, chances are I'm never going to get there, but I'll try anyway. But I've got to reframe that and go, who the fuck said that? You know, whose decision is that, whether I make it or not? I'm going to pull out all stops. That's on me.
Yeah.
I don't have a fire in my belly to prove anyone wrong. So if I hear someone say, oh, I had a fire in my belly, I had to prove these people wrong, I'm like, if I let that just sit, I could accidentally fall into a mindset of, oh, well, I don't have what it takes because I don't have anyone telling me I couldn't to fight against.
Correct.
Whereas actually, I just have this deep ingrained mindset of, I cannot live this life in regret. I can't let that moment go where I could have taken that action and then look back and go, but you didn't do it. Now that moment's gone. What are you doing? It's like, for me, that's my motivation for a workout. If I'm not in the mood for a workout, I'll still go and do it because I'm like, are you going to look back this afternoon when you are in the mood and be like, fuck, I could have done that workout. Like, you've got this dream you want to achieve. Like me with MJ Fit Life, like I want to achieve huge things and impact so many women with this fam, with the Fit Life fam and what we do. I can't give up on that because I could not get to the end of my life and go, what would it have been like if I had done that?
Yeah.
Like the regret of not trying. For me. And so knowing that that's what makes me tick, I'm now okay that I don't have what other people have of someone to prove wrong. I just know I'm here for a purpose. Obviously, that desire is on my heart because it's meant for me.
Yep.
And I cannot live a life of not going after it.
I love that.
And that's just my why.
Let that sink in.
Yeah.
For anyone listening, like, what is your why?
Yeah.
You know, and Toddy said it before. It's like, oh, sorry, I think it was Xavier. He said your why is like what hurt you.
Mm.
So a lot of it can be like your reason for doing things is so that you don't want other people to experience what you did.
Mm.
That's a lot to do with mine. You know, my whole thing is like helping people cultivate lives worth living.
Mm.
So they don't want to fucking kill themselves.
Yeah.
Because I was at that point at a very young age, and we haven't even touched on the story. I'll shorten it right down. I love that we've already flowed through an hour.
Oh my gosh. Go us. I was wondering how long it had been already, actually.
This is great. And I've still got, I think it's only, what's the time?
I think we're sitting at 11 a.m.
Oh, we're good. We've got heaps of time. I guess, you know, for anyone wanting to know actually where I've come from was the fact that I, at the age of 5 years old, was an absolute freak child. I was like 6 foot by the time I was five. So I then got thrust into football.
Mm-hmm.
I was very good at it. Always been very naturally talented with like hand-eye coordination. I was the fastest in my team somehow, and I was always the biggest.
Yep.
So I had this talent and this physical body given to me, which I thought was to hurt people.
Mm.
Right? I realize now it was to heal people.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was like Trav the football player.
Mm.
And I heard Kalen Ponga say this the other day on a podcast. It was like he worked with a mental health coach or an actual life coach as an NRL player, and I love hearing that because I hope more of them do it.
Yeah.
But what he taught him was that he's not Kalen Ponga, the football player. He's Kalen Ponga, and he plays footy.
Mm. Yeah.
His identity as Kalen is a creative. He loves creative stuff. He loves doing podcasts. He loves doing all these things.
Mm.
And he plays footy on the side.
Mm.
It's just a part of him, right? But my whole life was football.
Mm-hmm.
So I got created. I created this identity that, like, if I'm not Trav the football player, who the fuck am I? So I threw away that identity at 17 years old.
Mm.
I got offered a contract by the Brisbane Broncos. And like, that's top tier.
Yeah.
That's what every kid as a child football player.
That's the NRL team I go for.
Right? Yeah, there you go. So, you know, all my teammates were like Josh Maguire, Ben Hunt, Andrew McCulloch, like all the boys that still played Queensland, Australia. Josh Maguire is coming to our workshop this weekend.
Amazing.
To speak about, you know, the mental health issues he's gone through.
Yeah.
Because everyone always used to call him a grub and all these things. It's like, man, no one knows his story.
Yeah.
The shit he had to go through growing up and deal with off the field. There's a reason why people are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that'll come out in a podcast as well. But you can imagine then if my identity was Trav the football player and then I cancelled it myself, one, how much self-worth do I have in myself for letting go of this huge opportunity? And then two, who the fuck am I? Men need purpose. We get to the point of suicide, a lot of us, without purpose in life.
Yeah.
If we can't provide for our family, suicidal thoughts come in. There's so many, like literally, if you're listening, have a think about how many men especially have suicidal ideations. There's a very difference where if you think about wanting to not be here, it sometimes can be kind of normal. Now, I'm going to stress enough that like there's a difference between thinking about it and then actually thinking to the point where you're like, you want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like some people have had ideas of like, oh, it'd be much so much easier if I wasn't here, but they would never actually get to that point. Yeah. There's, we always question life as people. We're going to go through those moments. But what I was at was where I was trying all these different jobs. I was like, well, what the fuck do I do? I don't like any of this shit. Why am I working at a car sales yard and I hate this?
Yeah.
Why am I here? What's the point? And then as I'm driving home one day, I went to take my car off the road into a tree.
Wow.
It just hit me. It was like, enough's enough. And this was at just up in Caloundra, that big roundabout. Well, actually, we're still new here. So literally like 15 minutes up the road from here.
Yep.
And I took it off the side and then something was like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? Boom. Brought it back onto the road, like bawled my eyes out. Got home to my partner at the time who was so supportive. I wouldn't be here without Gracie.
Like,
shout out to Grace. I'm still mates with her. She's now married and having kids and stuff, which is epic. Lovely. But from 19 to 26, she was like my rock.
Yep.
I genuinely know that without her, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And I always want to give people their roses for their support. One of my old mates, Joshie O'Neill and his family, Turu Bannister and his family, Tyce Andrews, his family, my family. Like there's so many beautiful people around me that have always supported me. And I'll never forget them.
Yep.
But for me, like going through those moments, to me to have that moment was a realization too. We were like, we need to change. So we moved to Sydney. I went down to study, but I got a casual job at Rebel Sport, right?
Love.
I get into Rebel Sport and I'm like, oh shit, I like this.
Yeah.
I like talking to people. People would be walking past me, like workmates, and be like, Trav, was that dude just telling you about his dead dad before? I was like, yeah, I don't know why. It was weird. And then the years go by. I get like best salesman in the company and things like that. Because all I did, MJ, was I cared so much about every single person and actually fucking listened and asked questions to what I do now for a career. And they would literally buy anything from me because they trusted me. They knew that I didn't give a shit about what I sold them. If it was a pair of $280 Keanu's.
You got to know them and wanted the best for them.
Exactly. But I also, I knew what they actually needed. If they needed the $300 shoes because their feet are fucked up, I will sell them that.
Yep.
I'm not going to sell them a pair of $70 Nikes that have no support.
Yep.
So it was those moments where I started to realize some purpose. I was like, well, I'm really good at helping people. And I always got that comment of like, you know, you should go study psychology or things. It was always study. You should go study. You should go get a piece of paper to say you can do something. Right. And I got nothing against people that study because we need people that study.
Yeah.
We need universities. We need that qualified doctors and 100%. Nurses and stuff. But not everyone does need that. So for me, I went down this really dark path. Another long story short of another really dark moment where I decided when Gracie and I separated, to go into deep self-development. Everything was self-development. Tom Bilyeu, on Impact Theory on YouTube.
Yep.
Every single day it'd be a new one.
Yep.
Then it'd be full-time work. I'd go back and forward, listen to podcasts, YouTube, learning, doing, discovering more about myself. And then eventually went through another separation in 2022, I believe. But in 2020, she got locked out of the country. She was Canadian.
Oh, right.
So during COVID, I got forced into this deep, anxious, depressive hole that I hadn't been in for years. But that's when I met the beautiful Jordan Potts at Kiwanis Farmers Markets.
Yep.
Definitely get him on here too.
Okay, done. I'll have to get a list off you at the end.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, there's so many incredible people around here. And he got me into Wim Hof breathing and meditation and shit like that. So I went down that hole. that's where now I ended up where I am, because I started going to breath work events with Cool to Be Conscious, started doing self-development, started doing all the things, and I found myself. I realized I started coaching MJ with it everything's channeled for me. Everything comes in. It's an intuitive, like, oh, that's a good idea. And it's usually in the shower.
Yes.
The shower's an awesome one.
The flowing water.
Yeah.
It takes away the negative, was it the positive ions? I think it's the positive
something
ions.
Around that, yeah.
That's why dust in your bathroom falls so much faster than out in the rest of the house.
Because
it takes away the positive charge in the air.
Fuck, okay.
Removes
that's cool.
the static. That's why we always feel so zen around flowing water.
And that's why so many people cry in the shower. Okay.
Yep.
I've cried in the shower a few times, guys. So, yeah, it's all this, like, this moments that led to this moment where I go, started the podcast and was doing really, really well. I had no idea if I could ever do it, but I just did it. As we talk about, we execute.
Yep.
Even though it took me 6 months with my logo on the wall. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to do it. First episode, I like nearly spewed like six times. Tried it four or five times over and over again. Anyway, got it done. And then one day, I had this moment where I was like, holy shit, I'm really good at asking questions and just listening. So I thought, tech talks. The technician does tech talks.
Tech talks.
So it was an hour-long coffee catch-up.
Yeah.
Where I would just, I would sit there and hold space, like we're doing right now, ask the questions. I had no idea what I was doing. But I didn't realize it was coaching, essentially.
Yeah.
And people would walk away going, like, shaking, goosebumps and shit. And they're like, I don't know what you just did, Trav, but I feel different.
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel like I don't have that burden anymore. And they go off and kill it. And I just charge them $50 for an hour conversation. Yeah. You know? And now 2 years, 2.5, 3 years later nearly, I'm doing, you know, one-on-one coaching. But I take them through NLP processes. I have spiritual downloads where I share with them. I can feel in your body that you're anger stuck in your gut. What does it feel like? What is it attached to? What part of you is this and this? So the expansion of my abilities have just gone through the fucking roof.
Yep.
And what's wild is that it's only been a couple of years of true change.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been working on myself for 33 years technically, but now I'm seeing it. I go, and I'm sitting here right now, MJ, and like I'm almost floating above our conversation.
Wow.
And watching this play out. And I'm like, dude, how do you know this shit?
Yeah.
I still forget what I know.
Yeah.
It's your epic questions have really brought out that today. And I look at this and I go, this is what happens in my coaching too.
Yeah.
There's a reason I do this shit.
Yep.
Because when they ask the right questions or whatever they're feeling, something channels in my body and goes, ask them this, Trav. And all of a sudden we discover something that no one else could help them discover.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's where the integration, that's where the healthiness comes from. That's where, as you said before, if people that can't lose weight for some reason, even though there's all the knowledge in the world, it's because a part of you doesn't want to.
Yep.
And I help uncover that part. Yeah. So because I've done that all myself, I know that then I can embody that and give that to other people.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. What you were just touching on at the end there, everything that you've just touched on, again, I'm just like hanging on every word. I love one thing I have been mulling over that I did want to talk on, which I can't remember if it was Joe Dispenza or someone else in one of those sort of podcasts. And it just hit me. I was like, that's exactly right. When it comes to anxiety and depression mostly being a disconnect between expectation and reality. Or desire and reality. Like if you're living a life that isn't where you thought you would be and you can't see the clear path of how to get there, you can become depressed about that.
Yep.
But also if you're living a life that's not aligned and you don't know it, if you don't have that self-awareness to realize you're living a life that's not in alignment with truly who you are. Because we box ourselves into, like we were saying before, what we think we should be to fit into society based off how we were raised and the belief we have about our own identity. But if that's not right for you, then you can very easily fall into a depression because energetically you're living this life that's not in alignment with where you're supposed to be. So I was in that in my early 20s, like straight from stepping out of school. My parents, I remember my mum asked me, we're in the car. I remember vividly the conversation. She said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I want to be a singer. She's like, no, like a real job. And I was like, oh, an actress. She's like, yeah, okay. But like, you got to have an education of something to back you up if that fails. I'm like, oh, are they not real jobs? And how come like Nicole Kidman's doing pretty bloody well? Like, what, you know, like Christina Aguilera, I'm obviously not up there.
I know you're saying that, yeah.
But hey, like, to me, that was legit, right? That was legit. And then that was shut down. I was like, well, what am I good at? She goes, oh, your best subject's English. I was like, oh, okay. So then I went down, oh, I'm a good writer. Mm. So I did English in high school. I did like in college, I did poetry and all these things. Bored out of my brain. But yeah. I was like, okay. So the actor, the person who wants to be in front of people delivering, I guess, advice and guidance, that's my natural thing that I fall into. Hadn't realized that yet. But I just went straight to, I want to be a news anchor.
Oh.
And so I was going to become a journalist because that's the English, the writing side of things. And I wanted to be a news anchor because I wanted to be that, I had that desire in me to be in front of people delivering, right? And so when I realized what journalists have to do before they become news anchors, I was like, I can't be that person. So I ditched the idea of going to university, didn't study journalism and didn't know what to do with myself, ended up in 9-to-5s until I worked out what I wanted to do. And it was just this never-ending churn through different jobs. And I began to resent every company I worked for. And I realized I'm the common denominator here. Like, these companies are all so different and I hate every single one of them, because I would just sit there and go, why am I busting my ass for your job and your dream? And then I found the gym through one of my ex-boyfriends who I'd been with for, we actually ended up getting engaged at one point, but he introduced me to the gym. I'd already been doing like Body Attack with the different friends. I was kind of into fitness, but didn't really know. And that's sort of the start of my downward spiral into over-exercising, under-eating, before I realized how health and fitness actually worked. But I had to sit there, and I remember sitting at my desk in my very last 9-to-5 job that wasn't fitness related, and it just hit me, and I was like, what matters more than anything in the world? If you strip away material things, anything that matters can't matter unless you're healthy and able to be present to enjoy it. And I instantly just went, oh my God, I want to be a personal trainer. And that download just washed over me, and I instantly had this image of having an online platform where I could help as many girls as I possibly could. Mm. And from there, it's just transformed into what it is now. And it's just grown from there, because I had that one download of that intuition that just pushed me in that direction. And obviously the universe has aligned in a lot of other ways to get me to every place I needed to be in at every stage to get the best out of me in that moment, so I could then grow to progress forward. But I think letting your higher self and your intuition drop in on you to tell you what is aligned with you, like what makes you tick, and understand who you are as a person and how you, I guess, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Like the way that you knew that you were a healer and you're a carer and a protector.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more of like a teacher, advice giver. So any of my friends who come to me, they probably aren't even asking for advice, but I'll give it because it's just naturally my response.
Yeah.
I used to pretend I was a teacher when I was little. I'd have like pretend schoolroom of teddy bears and I'd be teaching them how to cook or something. Like,
nice.
So from a young age, I've always been that teacher and advice giver. And I think if you can understand that kind of person, who you are you the caregiver? Are you the nurturer? Are you an empath? Are you the protector? Are you the provider? Are you the teacher? You can really sort of find where you should be going in life and find your alignment and be just be so friction free. So I think anxiety is also friction as well, a lot.
Well, it makes sense with the energetic stuff, right? Mm. Yeah. And it's anxiety for me. It was like, I was super shy, but it came from the belief that, I wasn't good enough.
Mm.
So then if I spoke up and someone said I was stupid or laughed at me, then that just reaffirmed my belief.
Yes.
My unconscious belief.
Yep.
So yeah. Everything you touched on there was perfect. And I hope that people start to listen and go, oh, maybe I need to start being bored for one, feeling into what I actually enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I as a person?
Yep.
Because so many people don't even know who they are.
Mm.
Find out who you are, and then you might find what you actually want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all those little simple things, but
it
obviously is a lot deeper with a lot of things. But I think one of the coolest things I can share with anyone is do some shadow work.
Mm.
Shadow work's like my genius, and that's what I love because I've done so much of it on myself. But it's those tough questions where I'll actually share a question. I do a lot of random questions for my clients. And,
love.
This one really got some great answers the other day. Let's see. So I would love, and if you can answer this as well, MJ.
Okay.
I'd love you to identify a belief you hold about yourself. Where did it come from and how has it shaped your behavior?
I instantly know the answer to this. I shared this with a mentor recently. Okay. So I grew up as an only child and I always had to be sort of like the protector for my mum. But having said that, like that's where my sort of strength and prominent personality comes from. I guess it's genetics as well, because my mum and my dad are exactly the same, very strong people.
Yep.
But then you wouldn't expect me to be someone who is very self-doubting and second-guessing every single move. I know we all do, but to the degree that I have in my life and the way it's held me back, because growing up, I had zero awareness of the world around me paying any attention to me. I could just walk through a room and be so up in my head, I wouldn't know anything that was going on around me, but I knew I was there. I couldn't tell you what happened because I was just up here thinking. I was just always just in my own world. And then I became friends with these girls in, I think it was late primary school. And they were like the popular girls. I was just, you know, this regular kid, just not paying any attention to what anyone thought of me, unaware that people thought anything of me. And then all of a sudden it was read these magazines, listen to this music, talk to these boys, not these boys. Here's how you dress. Here's how you act, everything. And it brought to my awareness, oh, so how I am is wrong and how you're telling me to be is right. Okay, so you're the popular girls. You know what's up. I have to be like you. What that did to me was it made me believe that everything authentic to me was incorrect, and I had to make sure that what I wanted to do had been done before, so that I knew it was validated and correct.
Yeah.
So I was always looking. And one day I spent like 2 hours in a shoe store and cried like twice because I couldn't decide if I wanted the pink Etnies or the blue ones. Because two of the girls I idolized at high school, one of them would have worn the pink, the other one would have worn the blue, and I couldn't decide who I wanted to copy, who was correct.
Yeah.
They both were. What did I want? That didn't matter.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I would have been wrong.
How common would that be for so many women as well?
100%.
Because it's all like that. I know the biggest thing I've seen with working with women is that a lot of women are backstabbed during school and stuff by their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much like status around what you wore, how was your hair, like
mm-hmm.
how's your skin, like all yep. the things. And fuck, I feel for you guys, like, because like men can just, you know,
rock up,
shower with a bar of fucking soap and everything's sorted, right?
Yep.
and there's so much more to you guys with what you need to do and show up, because there's just so much more expectations in that regard. Yeah. And you know, both ways, like men, there's so much expectations to like status for them is like, are you big and strong and wealthy?
Mm.
If you're not, you're a useless piece of shit.
You're a loser.
That's pretty much it, right? So how many guys do you see driving around like the big F-250s and shit now?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, it comes from insecurities.
Yep.
So if I drive a big, nice truck, which I can't afford to make everyone think I'm the fucking man,
yep.
it's just making your insecurities worse.
Yeah.
Because you go and buy it, you feel good, you drive around, you make sure everyone's watching you, and then you get home, you're like, why do I still feel like this?
Yeah.
I bought a big new truck.
Yep.
Because they just don't get it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like, if you actually work on the internals first, the externals will follow.
100%.
Like, I drove a piece of shit until like this year.
Yep.
You know, I finally spent a bit of money and got a fucking Pajero Sport. Just mm-hmm. something like, for me, an SUV for the amount of travel I do and the mm-hmm. gear I have with the potty and stuff.
Yep.
It was perfect.
Yep.
I can sleep in it. Just.
Mm.
I just fit in it. So I look at things like that, and I bought it for the sake of, I think getting nice things, the feeling of it, if it empowers you and helps your vibration raise, mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
But if you're buying it to fill a spot that's empty,
yes. like
for me, I'll show you something. I got some new kicks.
Love.
Yesterday, some Dunks. I love red. I love red, white, and black. Chicago Bulls.
Nice. Yes.
And I saw them in Foot Locker and I was like, I'm going to get them because I got a new client. I'm going to celebrate that. Nothing crazy. A couple $100, cool. And then that reaffirms that I'm doing well in life because I'm mm-hmm. celebrating every little thing.
Yes.
It can be as simple as even just buying yourself a beer.
Yeah.
You know, I did well today.
Mm.
I'm going to tell myself I'm proud of myself.
Yep.
Getting it from other people is awesome too. Men need to hear I'm proud of you a lot.
Yeah.
They don't get it
because
they don't do it for themselves as well.
Yeah.
But little things like that, and it's so beautiful to see that this conversation today has touched on so many different topics.
I know.
And I love that. I know there's going to be some value in there for someone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for anyone, as I said, shadow work is a must.
Yes.
Self-inquiry, shadow work, listening to those movies or watching those movies that play out, mm-hmm. actually sit with it.
Yeah.
Boredom for inspiration to discover who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Letting go of shame and guilt, all the things. There's so much to it. But I guess, again, keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you touched on was really, really cool, MJ, with realizing what you actually enjoy,
mm-hmm.
trying a few different things, seeing where it leads you.
Yeah.
You're now doing something I can tell you love,
mm-hmm.
and you show up every day with love.
Yep.
Which is perfect because we need more people doing that.
Mm.
I've seen someone say recently, it's like, oh, it's so annoying how many coaches there are now.
Yeah.
Like, why is that annoying?
Yeah.
More people are getting help. Yeah. Like more people are getting help, you know, like
yeah.
obviously there's some shit coaches,
mm.
but there's some shit retail workers.
Yeah.
There's some shit doctors.
100%.
You know, like there's going to be the general thing is like all industries
mm.
will have people that probably shouldn't be doing it.
Mm.
But I believe in this industry, if people are trying to help people,
mm.
that's a pretty positive thing.
Yeah.
If they're in it for the wrong reasons,
100%.
Get out of it.
Mm.
But if there's people literally coming from the heart and they're doing the best they can to help others,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Like the more people we can get helping each other, the stronger we all become as a society and the better we can be as people.
We don't have to rely on doctors and stuff. As much as I love doctors because they've saved my life many times, but some of the things they just don't know. Like some things they just don't know.
Mm.
Even psychologists, I love psychologists because they help people that really need them. But for some people, the psychologist went to uni and read a book, but has probably never experienced depression in their life.
Yeah.
So they don't know the lived experience. And I'm not saying you have to experience those things with people that you help, but it does help.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I know because I've coached a double degree psychologist.
Yeah.
And I've helped her more than any of her study did or people in her same work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. So there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying to everyone, look outside the box.
Mm.
Western medicine's awesome. I love it. I wouldn't be here without it, especially with my body. I've had so many injuries from footy.
Yeah.
But have a look at the holistic stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And Eastern Chinese medicine, shit like that.
Yeah.
Have a look at it as a holistic aspect and see what you can do to get your baseline health sorted.
Yeah.
And then we do the other stuff.
Yeah, that stuff comes in for, you know, the extremes that can't be sorted, you know, like you said, the injuries and things like that, obviously. But 100%, like working on you internally, getting yourself into full alignment, your highest vibe, the best version of you, bringing your health, physical health and mental health together as one. Less dis-ease.
Stop suppressing emotions.
Yeah.
That'll make you feel way better.
Yeah. Like be an energetic flow instead of like a energetic clamp, I guess.
Well, I love that you touched on that because real quickly, one thing I want everyone to look into is chakras.
Oh, yes.
C-H-A-K-R-A-S.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I first saw it, I was like, what the fuck? I get it. I get it. A lot of this stuff is like, what do you even mean?
Yeah.
But that channel, what you just said, if your chakras are unblocked.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, for anyone listening, if you hold hatred in your heart for your parents, your heart chakra will be closed off.
Yeah.
Your heart chakra is usually connected to money, abundance, possibilities,
mm-hmm.
opportunities, all the things. It is the core of you, your heart. When you unlock your heart and you love and you feel and you can express, watch how much your life changes.
Mm.
You know? So little things like that.
Yeah. It's true that like, because again, you know, the beliefs create thoughts, create actions, create outcomes. So if your belief systems around things like hatred for someone that's keeping you stuck, you change that belief. You no longer feel that hatred. Your thoughts are different. Therefore, the actions you take are different. Therefore, the abundance you can create is different. Yeah.
And what you are is what you'll call in.
Yes. Yes.
So if you're a negative, sad sack of shit,
you're going to call in negative shit. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like one of my friends the other day was saying he's just astounded by his son. It was a cloudy, rainy day, drizzling. And he goes, what a beautiful rainy day. And this kid's like 7. And I was just like, absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. Like, what a blessing to be alive, whether it's raining or sunny. Like rain is necessary for us to live. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's beautiful. You don't want to go out in it, but hey, if you've got a roof over your head,
I go in the rain all the time.
I run in the rain.
Yeah. It charges the atmosphere too.
Yes.
Like you said, with rain, I'm showering.
Yeah.
I find that an external bit of rain, sitting in it, and like meditating, especially. I haven't done it for a while, but not even meditating. Just fucking do something for the sake of not doing anything.
Yeah.
Why does everything have to have an outcome?
Just be.
Yeah. just live.
Mm.
Literally do what you were put on this earth to do.
Yeah.
And experience life.
Yeah.
Go and sit and drink a coffee, but don't look at your phone.
Yeah.
Just sit there and look, watch people, like see what happens, see the beauty in it. And
yep.
once you start to, as MJ said a few times, is like once you, what you focus on, then
expands.
You'll get, yeah, expands. Mm. It's the energy flows to it.
Yep.
So choose where you're looking.
Mm. Yes.
Move your head.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be locked in one spot.
Yep.
You're choosing that.
Yes.
I don't care what people says. You can blame fucking everyone you want.
Mm-hmm.
Every shit under the sun, it's like, oh, but such and such. Cool. Yes, they did that.
Mm.
But you're choosing to stay in it.
Yeah.
People don't like to hear that.
This I like. This is something I've been saying recently to a lot of my – I thought we were getting close to wrapping up, and now we're just going down this whole other rabbit hole.
How are we doing for time? Okay, probably another like 5 minutes.
Okay,
we're good. We're
this
good.
One thing is going to change everyone's outlook on what other people do and say to you and how it affects you. Ready for it?
Yeah.
Someone says something to you a week ago that made you angry. Try and grab those words in your hands right now. Try and hold them. You can't. You're just grabbing thin air. Those words are not physically here to touch you or hurt you. The only damage they've done is the damage you allowed to occur up here. No, nothing that anyone did to you in your past has a lasso around you holding you in place. Only you did that up here by the beliefs you have that allowed you to react a certain way, which then caused you to stay stuck in that emotion. But because you chose to stay stuck, you can also choose to free yourself of that. You don't have to be controlled by anything anyone's ever said or done to you.
Fuck yeah, I agree. I seen a reel about that the other day too. And what the visualization that came in for me, for anyone that's visual, learners, picture a bookcase. Someone just said something. Your unconscious goes, hold on a second, let me just grab this story here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm meant to be angry. Okay, fuck you.
Yeah.
Why don't you grab the story that comes out and goes, oh, it's just their own shit. They're abused as a child. Mm-hmm. You're not meant to, you don't have to know this,
mm-hmm.
but assume they've had a shit day
mm-hmm.
and they're just being absolute cunts for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose in that moment, I'm not going to let you bother me.
Yeah.
Now this can, I believe it's way easier when your nervous system's obviously like not jacked up.
Mm.
So this is why we say, you know, working on yourself, discovering yourself,
mm.
removing the things.
Mm-hmm.
It will make it much easier to respond to those things rather than react.
100%. Just being consciously aware that what the things other people say and do is a complete mirror reflection of their internal world.
I just remembered something. This is perfect. Now I know why I saw this yesterday. So I'm on the phone.
Yep.
Talking to a mate who's really struggling. And I'm very present. Like I'm supporting him. I'm loving him. A couple of people, just before I was going to the gym, saw a couple of mates I haven't seen in ages. Like, hey, bro. Yep, sweet. Done. Cool. This old guy was talking to me. I don't know what the fuck was going on. It was a wild day. And then as I hang up the phone, I just hear this beep. This dude leans out the window. You fucking idiot. Get out of the way.
Oh.
Just some poor old guy's turning a bit slower than normal, right? But this younger guy behind him
was so triggered
that this poor old bloke was just driving a bit slower. And he had to lean out the window and call him a C-U-N-T and a fuckwit and all these things. It's like, bro, you had to wait an extra 0.5 seconds.
Yep.
How are you, where is your shit?
Yeah.
And then I saw him go and complain to a couple of people at the RSL that was close by.
Oh, he's sitting in it.
Literally, and he wants to be validated in that anger. He knows he just did something shit.
Yep.
But he wants to go and complain justify to someone it. So they can justify and validate him in
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
They were probably thinking, this guy's a fucking loser.
Mm.
But, and he probably knows that. And the thing is, right, this is the lesson for everyone. What if you just sat there and go, fuck, I was a loser just then?
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Face it with yourself.
Yeah. Sit there and go, man, that was a dick move.
Yeah.
That's what I do all the time.
Yeah.
I still have those moments where someone, you know, I barely ever road rage.
Mm.
But now if I do, I'm like, the fuck's my problem?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Mm.
Dive into it.
Yeah.
Not everything needs to be a lesson, but sometimes there are lessons there. So,
yep.
I find that the best barometer for most people for anger, if you're constantly getting angry and road rage.
Yeah.
Have a check into that.
You're
that
the trigger. Common denominator.
Have
yes.
Have a look at that trigger. Yeah.
And train yourself to think about how someone else's actions could actually just be a reflection of how they're feeling internally, because misery loves company.
Oh, yeah.
People who are unaware, like self unaware, will project their unhappiness onto other people to try and bring them down so that they feel like they've, you know, they're supported in their misery. So, yesterday, this is a perfect example. And it's happened before, but both times, right? So yesterday I went for a road ride in the afternoon and I knew that there was going to be more traffic. There wasn't nearly as much traffic as I thought there was going to be. And some drivers have zero regard for cyclists. Others will give you like 6 meters.
Mm.
And this taxi driver came out of a roundabout that I'd just gone through and actually came so close to me. I was like, he did that on purpose. You could tell he'd actually gone out of his way to get really close to me. And I just thought, look, I know you're probably bored sitting in that car, mate, but honestly, you must be so unhappy to feel like you got a bit of joy out of making me feel like you were going to run me off the road.
Yeah.
Now, if I had have been emotionally unaware, I would have got really angry by that and be like, oh, these drivers are bloody assholes. Oh, my life's shit. Like, this always happens to me. But instead, like, that was just washed over me in a moment. I was like, you poor man. I hope your day improves.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm out on a ride, loving life. I'm getting fit. I'm working on me.
And you'll probably never see him again.
Exactly. And he gets to take that misery somewhere else. I can be free of that because what he did doesn't affect me. I'm like, you poor man. You felt the need to do that to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's perfect. That's a perfect way to wrap it up, I guess.
Yep.
Think about that, guys. Road rage. Let it be the trigger. Let it be the mentor into where you need to sort your shit out.
Yes. Do the inner work. Look at the triggers. Look at the story behind it.
Yep.
Disbelieve anything about yourself that you no longer want to control you by realizing that you get to choose who you are and what you believe about yourself.
Yep.
And everything opens up.
Holy, what a podcast, man.
Oh my gosh, I'm like buzzing.
Yeah, I'm so energized. Like, I've got a client right after this, so she's going to call this.
She's going to get an absolute tsunami. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, fam. I'm going to split this into two parts so everyone can sort of listen and not get lost in it to the point where their brain tunes out.
Yeah.
So fit fam, oh my gosh. I hope you're buzzing as much as we are. I'm sure you are.
Oh yeah.
Tell us where everyone can find you, and I'll drop links to your socials in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Where can everyone find you?
So the main one's the technician on Instagram. It's really cool that I'm the only one that's on there as that.
I love it.
I really need to trademark everything around that. Yeah, do it. Because I've seen there's a guy now, he's like the mind mechanic or something like that, which is cool. Like I've got nothing wrong with competition. Better. Yeah. For me, it's like there's no competition when you're on the mission, but there's also no competition when you're just all about yourself.
100%.
I'm not trying to compare myself to anyone. I used to, but the winning horse never looks back to see where the other horses are at, right?
No. That's why they put blinkers on them.
Yeah. It's like
their own lane.
I love everyone else that's doing their thing.
Mm.
I see a lot of coaches in space like call out other coaches because of this. And I'm like, why the fuck are you even bothering?
Yeah.
Just do your own thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Before I go on another segue, coming back to, the technician on Instagram, Travis Cochran on Facebook. You can email me if you want, travis@thetechniciancoaching.com. Got a website, but I haven't touched in ages. The podcast, Technician Coach podcast. So there's plenty of places they'll find me, but the main one's definitely Instagram.
Amazing. I will drop all of the links. So I'll get you to send me the links. We'll put them in the show notes. Everyone can just touch of a button, find you.
And obviously Heart-Led Warriors for our men's and women's events. We've got our workshops coming out this weekend. But
amazing.
I'm assuming this will be released in a couple of weeks or something. So it would have been a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, probably probably within the next week or so we'll have it out. Yeah, cool. For sure.
So the workshops went really well. They were amazing.
Love. I'm going to come to some. I'm excited to experience it. Yeah.
100%.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. I can't even articulate how amazing this has been and how much gratitude I have for you showing up and just being who you are today. This has been such a flowing chat. I don't even want it to end.
I know. I'm literally sitting like, let's keep going. But we got work to do, right?
We do. Life does go on. Yeah. We get to go on and do our other work. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do another episode together for sure. I can feel it.
Well, you'll be coming on mine at some point. So we'll make that happen.
I'll look forward to that. Yeah, 100%. And Fit Fam listening. Don't forget, if you are listening and you're getting value from this, and how could you not? Shameless plug.
Yeah.
But please do not keep it to yourself. Do not hesitate to give it to anyone. Tell anyone about it who you think would also benefit from listening to this episode. Fit Life with MJ podcast. They can find us on mostly Spotify, Apple, and I think it's on Google. I have to double check that.
Yeah.
But also, if you've got time, would absolutely love it if you could pop over to the platform you're listening on and give us a 5-star review to help us get to the top of the list when people are searching for health and wellness podcasts so that we can help more people. But thank you so much for tuning in. That is it from us for today. And I'll talk to you in the next episode.
Thanks, MJ. That was amazing. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye for now.